so much of it is underground, and I keep telling everyone like 90-95% of Egypt is underneath still. We're seeing such a small fraction of what it really is. The much older stuff, which is what I'm most interested, the pre-dynastic stuff, it's all underneath. I actually just released another film yesterday that's it's called Egypt's Underground Cities and Long Range Tunnel System, I think, which is an interview I did with my friend Aminya last year, and he describes very in detail, as someone who's an archaeologist. He trained at Minya University for ancient history and stuff. He's telling me, in this interview, there is this underground city under Karnak at Luxor. There is two of them at least in the Minya district, which is Tell el Amarna, Akhenaten's area. There's two there, Tuna Gebel on one side and Beni Hassan on the other side, and these two underground cities there are connected underneath the Nile to each other. And I have another interview about this with another friend who's a very, very respected archaeologist and guide Egyptologist, who also confirms to me that these underground cities from Luxor to Minya to Giza are all interconnected with this long-range system that spans the entire length of the Nile, probably right on into Sudan, very likely. And these tunnels are discovered in very rural areas, far from any of the temples. Hakim Awiyan, he used to describe playing in the tunnels as a child. He tells one story about one of his friends when they were kids. He went down the tunnels under Giza, and he got lost, and he didn't come up until he was at Saqqara, which is 15 miles away or so. But yeah, my friend Cariolis, I just released this video of yesterday. He tells about these tunnels he has been in, where they're telling him he's crazy for saying that Tuna Gebel is actually this city, because you don't see half of it. We're talking about 1,100 tunnels. He calls them streets because you can drive a truck through these ones. And I went deep into this city. I saw the public.
Have you got video footage of that? 'Cause I'll make sure I put it on screen.
I put a little bit of it in a NC2 film, but I have like an hour of footage from what's called the City of the Dead underground at Tuna Gebel. It's an animal cemetery, much like NC2. The North Cliff too is the other name for the Tomb of the Birds and the Cave of the Snake. So I have footage of myself going through. I mean, I just again, I was alone. I had my flashlight. We asked, got the permission and got out of the main public area, and he let me go. He said, "If you want, we might be able to let you into this one that's called the Scary Tunnel." And I'm like, "Yes, please." But it was unbelievable. Yeah, no, it was a we had to push for a little, but these tunnels were it was unbelievable. They were full. I mean, they're 10, 12 feet wide and tall, square.
What kind of stone masonry are we talking? Is it like the really weird, like kind of pre-dynastic style or
Square
square?
tunnels. Some of them were more rounded, but all of them
My
very
God.
heavily like finished. And yeah, these ones, the one that I went deep down into was it was full, practically to the ceiling, of these giant potteries that had basically three mummies in each, bird mummies. There was just mummies of falcons and ibis wrapped so beautifully. I put a little clip of it in the end of the NC2 film.
Just sitting there, like no one had taken them and
Not sitting there, but piled almost to the ceiling. I had
what?
to
Oh my God.
carefully walk over them to get deeper and deeper in, and I started just feeling really weird about it. I'm like, didn't want to
Yeah.
break something. I was able to take
Right.
steps that weren't going to hurt it, but after a certain point, it was like, I'm not going to get to the end of this either, and they're going to close the site for the day soon. I could keep going.
Yeah, like do you feel like camping inside this tunnel tonight? Like, not really.
But there's over 1,000 tunnels there. Over 1,000. Over 50 acres. Over 50 acres, and that's just what they were able to explore and map out back then when the French were excavating it. And like I say, it connects under the Nile to the other ones.
How many entrance ways did you say you believe are actually around the Sphinx?
There's six or seven entrances on the body of the Sphinx itself. And then in its immediate vicinity, there's so many more. And then Bill Brown discovered immediately north of the Sphinx, and over to the east a little bit, there are, well, there's this whole cliffside that's got like a dozen gated off or cemented shut entrances. Some of them have huge electronic equipment running, air conditioners and lights. It's like, oh, nothing going on in there, but they're keeping it locked.
No archaeology teams down there. Nothing to worry about.
And we have a map that shows what is actually behind those. They're all little chambers that have square shafts in the floor going down. So right north of the Sphinx, there are probably a dozen shafts going straight down into this network that all connect. I mean, we're talking 100 feet from the Sphinx.
I mean, when was the last time we got like a renegade who was literally just like, I'm going in and just started like trying to like, dig down? Has there been any stories like
It's
that?
Bill Brown. Bill Brown is the guy who's been doing it. I was so surprised when I first met him that I hadn't already met him, because these GPR scans that we put in my film from 2006, this is from Dr. Ali Abbas with the NRIAG, the National Research Institute of Astronomy and Geophysics. But this was 2006 that Bill commissioned those scans, and we have 9 different GPR scans locations on the plateau itself, all along the Sphinx Causeway, up against the Great Pyramid, all along the Eastern Wall, where we found all these tunnels coming in from the village into the plateau, including the one that we believe connects straight to the Great Pyramid. But he found anomalies basically everywhere he did GPR scans. And even though it was 2006, no one has ever seen these. So when I first realized what Bill was onto, I was like, we need to make a film, Matt. I'm going to meet you in Giza. We have to tell the world all of this.
So I don't know much about this character, but by the sounds of it, he's someone that you linked up with in Egypt, and when you met him, you realized that he was extremely dedicated to finding as many of these different anomalies as he could, and he'd been there for a long time. And so you've
Last
done
few
work with
years,
him for how long?
he had been working with Richard for many years before that.
Yeah.
Richard was involved in a lot of the stories that are in that film as well as the other one. The film that really covers all of Bill's work is Secret Underworld of Giza. That's a 3-part. It's about 4 hours total. But Richard was also involved in a lot of those stories.
They're going to be in the description box. Like, listen to us talk, but go back and check out every single thing this guy's done. Because honestly, some of the footage, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen any of this footage before of these different entrances. And
Yeah, like Bill's one of the stories of one of the many projects he did in the films, was he ended up buying a horse stable that's in the village of Nazlat al-Saman. It's like just over 100 meters from the Sphinx, the closest piece of private property to the Sphinx itself. And it was a horse stable. Nobody cared about it. But he and his wife, they detected these energy signatures coming from underground. They knew that it was an extremely important site. There was 2 tombs directly under it, with 3 tunnels leading out from it, 2 of which are going basically straight over to the Sphinx. So these are almost surely, and then right next to it, he did a project in 2011. He got the Egyptians to clear this whole area we called the cave cleanup area. He removed all this rubble and garbage and just trash. He paid for this heavy equipment to come in, and he uncovered like another dozen doors. These are like right next to the other doors I was talking about that have gates on them. He found like 10 more. And every single one of them, they came in and they filled it. They either covered it with masonry and buried it in, one of them twice, or put a metal gate on it. And nobody even knows Bill discovered all these cave entrances 100 meters from the Sphinx. The tunnels that lead out from underneath his stable property that we already know exist there. One of them goes east, but 2 of them go west towards the Sphinx. And one of them is locked with a door; no one could get in. But he ended up finding out that this horse stable, which the walls of this structure were like 1 meter thick, which was like, why? Why would you do? Why would it was like a bunker. He realized it was actually like a German bunker back in the day. If you don't have a ministry approval for your project, if Zahi doesn't get behind it, it's not going to be covered by the mainstream news. It is going against the grain of so many things that we're told about our past. And there is, like you say, such a precedent for this. Is always Giza has always been the most locked down site on the planet. It's always been nearly impossible to get any access. But in the past years, and probably in part due to some of the stuff I've been doing with Bill and Richard, and other disclosures that are going on there, where independent people are going in there and bringing forward video proof of, for instance, I just released this film and revealing NC2 2 days before the conference, because we know that those cave system, the cave system that Andrew Collins found up in the northwest of the plateau, we do believe that it connects straight over the Great Pyramid. And Andrew actually brought forward back in 2008 when he first found it, this TerraSAR X scan of the plateau, where you see this cave going straight from NC2 to the Middle Pyramid. And he just released another film about that yesterday also.
And is that the same cave system in 2008 that Zahi Hawass denied the existence of, and then eventually went down 6 months later and took some selfies inside of it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Just keep that in mind, people. Just keep that in mind.
Zahi initially said there's absolutely no cave system. This thing's only 35 meters long. He's talking about the Tomb of the Bird structure, which is a separate, it opens up into this cave that goes another 350 feet back. So when Andrew brought attention to it, first he said there's no cave at all, and then he realized there was one. He put the gate on it after Andrew brought attention to it, brought his own team in, and they went to the very back end of it, and you have what's called the tube tunnel at the end. It's this very narrow structure you have to crawl through. And when Andrew and Richard first were going in there, my friend Richard Gabriel, he was going in there around that same time and doing all this great research. That tunnel was not blocked up at that point. And this is actually something I didn't mention in the film. I should have been more clear. I totally, is one thing I really want to mention, is that this dirt that is now blocking up that tunnel is, it wasn't there at first, and nobody went through it when it was open. But basically, right around when the gate was put up, the back end tunnel was blocked with dirt. And we believe it was blocked from the opposite side.
I'm blown away by some of the video footage. I'm going to be playing all of this right now, so everyone who's listening, you know, this is all on screen as we're talking. The amount of doorways just objectively, obviously there, like old ones, newer ones, gated ones, they are littering this entire plateau, aren't they?
I've got a few videos I just shared on Facebook about this in the past few weeks, where I show at least 100. There's hundreds of gated entrances and shafts on the plateau itself. Shafts just full of sand, shafts that are gated, doors that go into cliff sides that are gated. And that was my point. People don't realize how many entrances there are right on the plateau. And, you know, to also tie that back to just with Manu Seyfsadeh again, mentioning him and Under the Sphinx, that he was actually. He's brought forward actual hieroglyphic evidence that this repository of knowledge was real. And for example, one that I would cite is called A Hymn to Shu, that he put this in his book too, is a actual Egyptian document from ancient times that literally states there is this archive of knowledge that was written by the hands of Thoth and placed directly under the Sphinx. Basically, it says under Harmachis, which is the Greek equivalent of like Horem Akhet, or what the Sphinx was called on the dream stele of Thutmose, between the paws, Thutmose the Fourth.
Some of the footage, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen any of this footage before of these different entrances. And like, I saw a video of you, like, you were literally in a cave. Was it the Cave of the Snake, just on your own, like hundreds of meters going through in this dark cave? Like, wow, man, this is crazy. And I was watching it, like, this dude is on one. He's just down there on his own, going through it, trying to find the evidence. That's impressive, man. Like, you know, the hats off to you for actually doing that. You know, all the armchair skeptics sitting there saying this, that, and the other. Here's a guy that's literally getting the sand in his fingernails and going down into the tunnels and finding it. So, you know.
Well, that is specifically was I've been talking to Richard for many years about this. I was talking to Andrew about it years ago too. I was obsessed with the Cave of the Birds. Back as soon as he had brought that out, I already knew everything about that cave from Richard, because he had filmed a photograph, or he photographed every surface. He's found all this evidence of murals that are barely discernible on those walls. And he became completely obsessed with this cave as soon as he first came across it. It's become his lifelong obsession. So I knew the whole structure like the back of my hand, based on his maps and descriptions. And I knew what we really needed was proof that the end of it was blocked off. Because he didn't go
Up
in
there,
there,
yeah.
Zahi Hawass didn't go in there. They got up to the tube. They had, like, you know, some images into it. But no one had ever absolutely proven that it was a lie, what Zahi's team said on Chasing Mummies. The episode is called Bats. We knew that he sent a guy down into the tube tunnel, and the guy came back out and he said, nope, it ends there, which was absolute lie. And we needed to get proof that that was a lie, which is why I crammed myself 20 feet into this hole. I could not possibly have gone further because I needed to get that shot to prove this thing continues. Salt and Caviglia were right in 1817. It does have many chambers past it and labyrinthine passages leading out from all of them that do head straight to the middle pyramid, essentially. And so I think Andrew was right about when he said these. And then we proved all these other things that contextually gave more evidence that it does go right in that direction. So we do have a lot of evidence suggesting that NC2 could connect straight under the pyramid of Khafre, the middle one. The entrance in the tail of the Sphinx, they keep that locked. But I could get you in there if you want. If you got $10,000, you can go down there. It wouldn't be worth it because I'll tell you right now, you go down to the bottom of it and it's sealed off at the bottom. You can go in for $10,000, I could get you in. But it's not gonna, you're not gonna be allowed to film it, and you're gonna have to sign an NDA, so you can't tell anyone.
That totally sucks.
This is part of it, some of the lower level stuff, because they know that that tunnel used to go to a long chamber underneath the Sphinx, which has been completely denied. But Zahi actually admitted it. At one point, and before 1998, when they, you know, when Zahi was under there with Mark Lehner doing all this work, and there's this famous video of him in the tunnels, being like, even Indiana Jones wouldn't go here. We're under the Sphinx. We're about to find something no one's ever seen. And then it was in later 1998 when he suddenly came out and said, whoops, nope, nothing down there. And I know that that entrance, he was told to shut up about it.
Watching it like, this dude is on one. He's just down there on his own. That's impressive, man. Like, you know, the hats off to you for actually doing that. All the armchair skeptics sitting there saying this, that, and the other. Here's a guy that's literally getting the sand in his fingernails and going down into the tunnels and finding it.
This dirt that is now blocking up that tunnel is it wasn't there at first. There's hundreds of gated entrances and shafts on the plateau itself. Shafts just full of sand, shafts that are gated, doors that go into cliff sides that are gated. And that was my point. People don't realize how many entrances there are right on the plateau.
Some of the footage, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen any of this footage before of these different entrances, you know, going into these places, into the tunnel to actually get the evidence. Yes, it's blocked off. There is more to this. Again, guys, the ancient stories, the relatively contemporary stories from early archaeologists and explorers, like, this is something that seems to have been very quickly hushed up in the modern era.
It's real. There are these energy fields where if you enter into them, it's going to make you sick. There are these pockets that are, it's like radiation almost. You walk into, you get sick. These tunnels were, it was unbelievable. They were full, I mean, they're 10, 12 feet wide and tall, square.
What?
The Vatican Museum, where the pine cone is, and there's the big, you know, this is all a metaphor for the pineal gland. And
they know exactly what's going on.